Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and this is a bummer. Why it's a bummer? Well, you don't know this, but I just had 50 minutes of this particular podcast done and the batteries went dead. So I get to redo it again, which is a shame, because sometimes you say some really cool stuff that you weren't planning on thinking, and you'll never think of it again when you do the next one. So we're going to, not to you. So it's going to be all fresh to you, but we're going to go back through what we went over and see where it takes us. Just got back with some buddies down in the Delta. So technology as far as uploading shows and stuff like that, it's been kind of scattered. But there was some coyotes and hogs and coons and coyotes and beaver and otters that just had to be taken care of. So I did not have a choice. I had to go down there and do some stuff, spend some time with some friends, make some good memories, and we're back. So that's the reason there wasn't a show last time. We're going to talk about hammering coyote populations today. Now, I'm going to be like Mr. Rogers again, and I'm going to be referencing and reading some out of my Eastern Wolfer book. And there, of course, I'm going to read some, then I'll go into tirades, no doubt, and little rants here and there. And even if you read the book, I think you'll find this very interesting, because it's the evolution, I guess is the correct term, of how I ended up where I've ended up and why I trap the way that I trap today. And it's not the way I was originally trained. It's not the way that I was given instructions for. But it's the way that in the East, I think, is a better method of way that a lot of different guys go about it. But before we do that, I want to thank our sponsors are the ones that help pay for everything. And they take care of you. You, the listener of Trapping Radio. The reason that I choose the sponsors, because I can have many more sponsors. The reason I choose the sponsors I do is they do take care of their customers. They do everything that they can do within their power not to be backordered on stuff, even though it still does happen. All the sponsors go way out of their way to get you your product really, really fast. Most of the stuff you order from my sponsors are shipped out within 24 hours. Not all the time, depending on the time of the year. Like if it's December 20th, the volume of orders sometimes makes it where it may take a day or two. But if you're old like me, I just turned 54 or older. When I got back from Alaska and I put an order in from a company, it was pretty freaking exciting if you got the order within 4 weeks. That was good service. Now, in the Amazon world, that's not good service. That'll get you a bad review. But our sponsors really go out of their way to take care of you, the listener. First one is F&T Fur Harvesters, everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calls. Which, if you're into trapping, you got dogs, and you like to predator call, you need to look their website up, and they will send you a catalog with all their stuff in it. The cool thing about F&T is they're like the pinnacle of professionalism. And they've kept into the trapping game above anything else. A lot of the bigger companies are now getting into more of the outdoor world type stuff, like they're trying to be Cabela's. And even though F&T, because they opened up a retail store, I kind of thought they were going to head that way. And when I was talking to Ralph and Sean up there last year, they're sticking with what their customer base is and what they love, and that's trapping. Guys, that should mean a lot to you. Because in the world of business today, most companies don't think that way. Next sponsor is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. I was trapping with Alan. First time I got to actually trap with Alan. And let me tell you, he was a blast. Those commercials, I guess they still have them on TV with the Eberetta Bunny just banging the drum and you can't get it to stop or to shut up. That's Alan. A ball of energy. He's running around. He's setting traps. He's jumping out of the buggy. Sometimes I don't even think he knows to put it in park. He's just going. Always got a smile on his face. Always telling jokes. Very respectful. Super guy. Now, that also equates to how he runs his business. He works his butt off for you. When you put an order in for him on good products, which you're going to get a good price for, he does everything he can to get out the door that day. That's the reason I trust him to do my shipping for me. That's just the type of guy he is. Yeah, he's got everything you need in trapping. He's got stuff for fishing. He's got stuff for hunting, like lures and scents, and sells a lot of catfish bait and stuff like that. Has really good deals on predator calls, copper trap tags. Just give them a call. Look at their website. Whatever you're looking for, there's a good chance they got it. And they're going to take care of you. Next, we have Oki Cable and Trap. He's out of Oklahoma. Super dude. Loves being around trappers. Loves making deals. Full line of trapping supplies. And you never know what it's going to be. That's what makes working with Jeb so cool. He can probably get you anything you want. If he doesn't have it, he knows a guy. That's the type of person Jeb is. And he'll go out of his way to get you exactly what you want at a good price. Then we have Dunlap Lures. And I just thought about this. I always put Jeff last, and I probably shouldn't, on being a sponsor, just for the simple fact of we're very close friends. And I don't want to seem like I've given him special treatment, so I guess I always put him at the end of the queue, which probably is not very fair to Jeff. I don't think he'll mind, but maybe I need to start switching that up a little bit. Jeff, this year, I can't even describe, because I think Jeff's 53 or 52, maybe 54, I'm not sure. I don't even know how many states that man has been in this year. Every time I talk with him, he's either in a different state or he's driving to a different state. Last time I talked to him, he was in Louisiana, going to go to Arkansas, and then I think Missouri. And I know he's been in Iowa, I think Indiana, of course Michigan. I know he went out to South Dakota, ice fished for just a little bit with some other trapping guys. But every time I talk with him, he's going somewhere different. He's like a truck driver that just happens to set traps and check traps along the way. That's kind of what Jeff's life is like right now, him and Sarah. And he's good. But that doesn't really mean anything to you. Because, you know, what Jeff catches doesn't really pertain to you. But the lures he makes, that pertains to you. Because I can tell you, he makes quality baits and lures. Makes cool t-shirts. He's got all kind of stuff now he sells at conventions. I've been with him in his shop, helped him, well, I won't say help him, I was more of a labor, just what do you want me to do type thing. And I saw what he was doing, and it's top quality. And it's very effective. That's the reason Jeff probably right now is the biggest lure and bait maker in the country. because it works. So if you've never tried it, you owe it to yourself to give Dunlap Lures a shot. All right, we are going to go into the Eastern Woofer book. And I probably won't get very far before I start going down rabbit holes. So if you've read the book, this will still be different than what you remember. In the chapter we're going to do is hammering the coyote population. Now, we've already talked about how Western methods are based off lots of ground spread over several counties. Set two traps on gaps, water, long running edges and ridges to get to the next property. The system can rack up a lot of coyotes, but it leaves more coyotes in the local population than it takes. Now, I want you to remember that last sentence, guys. This system can rack up a lot of coyotes, comma, but it leaves more coyotes in the local population than it takes. There's nothing wrong with this system if you have the ground to implement. In the populated East, this long lining technique is not an option for most trappers east of the Big Muddy. So let's take a look at different approach to manage our coyote line. It just makes sense that if we don't have the ground to pick off coyotes here and there, then maybe we should learn to take more coyotes on the ground than we have to. This concept is more in tune of control trapping for predators. Now, I want to stop there. When I was younger and I was looking at my trapping like I would any other career, and I was taking instructions from people, pretty much everybody I took instruction from were longliners. Now, that term doesn't have the same oomph to it as it used to. Longliners used to be the man. They were the real deal. They were catching more than anybody else. They were driving more miles than anybody else. They had cooler stories than anybody else. They were the deal. So when I first got into it, that was kind of like the professional ball players. And then you had a bunch of guys in college and high school and peewee. But the pros were longliners. So that's what I took instruction in. That's what I wanted to learn. And that's what I did when I could. I went out west. I did this. I did this in the East. You can get away with it back when Tennessee had... They didn't try to mix up trapping and deer laws the way that they do now, where they try to mix those two across pattern, which I don't even think would hold up in court. But we used to could road trap without having to worry about a game warden, just like you do in Iowa and other places. So you could go out and you could catch a bunch of raccoons, beaver, otter, bobcats, fox, and quite a few coyotes right off of the road once you learned how to do it. And the way I was trained, the more locations, lower number of traps per location, the numbers are higher. You got more animals trying to get in fewer traps, so therefore more traps are full. You can rack up a bunch of fur. I started working for the county when I was doing beaver work. I could still longline beaver because I had a whole county. And then after a few years, the farmers wanted me to start catching coyotes. Well, I would mix in the coyotes with the beaver. So it wasn't really longlining, and it wasn't really like predator control work. I was just trying to help the farmers out, and I would put out, you know, 8, 10, 12 sets, and if I found some snare locations or whatever on someone's property, in between doing all this other beaver work. Well, when I started Predator Control Group, things changed drastically. Now, stick with me here, because I hope you're going to see, for most people that are going to listen to this podcast, why predator control and your style of fur trapping is probably way closer than you realize. So get rid of the vernacular of quote predator control and quote fur trapping. It's trapping. So what would happen when I started doing predator control work? Let's say I'm thinking of a place that I trapped in North Carolina that was 2,000 acres. I don't know why this one came to my mind, but it's 2,000 acres. Now, for some of you, 2,000 acres may seem like a lot, and to some of you, that may seem like a little. It's kind of a mid-range, bigger place in the East. Someone that's got quite a bit of land, they got some money, they want to manage their deer, they want to manage their turkey, quail, whatever it is. So they hire a predator control guy, i.e. me, and I would go to this 2,000 acres. Now, 2,000 acres, depending on the road system, and you set the best locations with a few number of traps the way you would in a long lining system, what are you going to do after 10 o'clock the next day? Go back and sleep at camp? Watch TV? Eat junk food? What are you going to do? See, until I got into this, that's never entered my mind, because long lining is as hard as you can go when you get up until you're done, which is usually you're getting home, you leave before dark and you get home after dark. But now I'm on a place with 2,000 acres, 20 traps, covered the best locations. When I go to run those the next day and I start at daylight, I'll be done by 9 or 10. And it's embarrassing just to go back up and take a nap, because they're paying you. They want to see that you're putting in effort. So what I did is I would experiment a lot, and I would put traps on locations and, you know, try this set and try that set. But all the best sets were taken, so then I went to like a subclass of set. Well, then after that day, what am I going to do? Well, I've got to do something, because I'm stuck on 2,000 acres for the next 2 weeks. So then like a class 3 style location, whatever, I'm making this crap up as I go. And then a class D, and just keep going down the alphabet. Now, one thing interesting happened to me on this is I found out that we as a trapping industry think we know more about coyotes than we actually know. Because a lot of the lesser locations were catching when the bigger locations were not. Now, you may be going, okay, you're talking predator control. Someone's paying you. You got to be busy if they're paying you, because people want their money's worth. What does that have to do with me, a fur trapper in the East? Okay. For most of you, it's the exact same thing. Let's be honest here. Let's say you have 5 or 6 farms you get permission on. That's your world of trapping. Now, when I'm on that 2,000 acres in North Carolina, that's my entire world. See, when I'm in my world at Predator Control, they're not going to pay me to go fur trap other people's farms. That is a no-no. They're not going to let me go road trapping if it's legal in that state, because they're paying me to be on their property. Now, you as a fur trapper, you don't have that issue. But you only have the permissions that you have. Correct? So that is your world. Your little world is the permissions that you have. Just like when I'm doing predator control, my world is the permission and the contract and the landowner that I have. Now, there's pay difference and contracts and all this type of stuff. Leave all of that out. setting traps, the basis of what we all do is the same. So as I continued on this, I started thinking, okay, the way that I was trained to trap was I would go to a 2,000 acre place and set 4, 6, maybe 8 traps on the most premier locations, and I would go to the next farm. But now is where I want you to go back to where I told you, I want you to remember this phrase. It leaves more coyotes in the local population than it takes. See, as a predator control trapper, based off of several studies from different places, our goal as predator control is to try to knock out 70% of the coyotes on a property. If we can do that, the deer population will explode, and it does. Because if deer hunters knew how many deer or fawns were actually getting eaten by coyotes, they wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Now, they can Google it. They can go look at several studies on this. But they don't. So they think they lose 1 or 2. Well, the people that I was trapping for were more wealthy, more educated, and they did look at studies. They wanted the population slashed. Because they're spending, some of them, hundreds of thousands of dollars to manage deer. With all the food plots and the extra roads and the stands and the clubhouses and all the stuff they do. I mean, this is like a secondary business for them. And most of the time, it's just for pleasure. Now, I had to figure out how to catch 70% of a coyote population, and I can tell you unequivocally, it is not long line. It is not thinking like a long liner. Now, if your world is so many acres of ground as a fur trapper, and my world is so many acres of ground as a predator control guy, actually, we're in the same boat. The difference is that I've, over many, many years, figured out it's more important to catch as many coyotes per square mile as it was to catch more coyotes per so many miles. See, like when I'm out in New Mexico, we may run 10, 15 miles between sets. Well, 2,000 acres isn't 15 miles across. See the problem? Or if you're somewhere like northwest Indiana with those huge fields up there and that one big drainage ditch coming down through the middle of it, and you've got a bridge or a road crossing, well, you're going to know that's where you go put the traps, because there's nothing else out there. That's the only structure, and that's where the only prey animal is going to be, and that's where every coyote's going to be. So long lining in that type of situation, if you've got all the properties, makes perfect sense. But is that the situation that you're in? Because I've talked to a lot of trappers over the years. I've tried to help out a bunch of trappers. And the myth of, one, setting too many traps for coyotes is a bad thing. And it can be if you don't do it correctly or smartly. But there's no such thing. For the simple fact that we think when we set a trap on sign or on one of these premier locations, that the coyote's going to come across, that all coyotes are going to come across that trap. And I tell you, that is simply not true. My theory, based off many years of practical experience, is in the East, you need to trap like a predator control trapper in the world that you have to catch the most amount of coyotes. Because if you go to 2,000 acres and set six traps, say you catch six coyotes, well, there's probably way more coyotes than that still there. But you only have so much land. So why are you leaving those coyotes there? Why? Because you probably only have so many sets that you can set. Learning how to catch more coyotes in a particular area is drastically different than a longliner. You're going to have way more traps out in a particular area. You're not going to just be setting the premier locations. You're going to have to block coyotes in any direction that they can go. At least give them the opportunity to come across a set. Because on 2,000 acres with eight traps on the premier locations, you're probably only touching, and I'm making this up out of my butt right now, but you're probably only going to get maybe 20% of the coyotes are ever going to come close to your traps. Ever. Because the construct that we have as trappers is based off of us, not the coyote. And I do believe that's more of a fact than a theory. So if you're in the East, like I said, maybe, just maybe, if your world is not that big acreage, you're better off learning how to catch more coyotes on that ground than you are catching a few, and then you get stumped where you can't catch any more. Because when I talk to a lot of guys, and I get to start asking them details about their trap line, it's usually smaller acre farms, 40, 50 to 300 acres. They only have a handful of them. And they're only setting a few traps on each one. And they're treating it like it's a long lining situation, either whether they know that or not. And they're getting the cream off the crop. But the cream in a gallon of milk is only like 10%. That means there's 90% still running around. So if they get stuck at a number off of their acreage of, say, 15 coyotes a year, and every year they're getting 14, 16, 15, 18, and they stay right in that number, it's not that there's not more coyotes there. Their system does not allow for them to catch all the coyotes that are there. And that's what we're talking about today. Okay, ground. That's the next like subchapter in the book. Get my old man glasses on. It's up to you to decide how many tracks of ground you will trap at one time. You should still get to as many different family groups as possible. If you have 10 50-acre farms, you may split that into five farms at a time. It really boils down to how much time each day you have to trap. You will be surprised at how many coyotes can be taken off 10, 50, or 100-acre farms. First, try to get all of the big farms in your area, then work on the smaller farms. Always, always hit as multiple grounds as possible. Don't think you can't rack up numbers on your small farms. If you land 1,500 to 5,000-acre farms, you may have to cut down on how many you can cover at one time. For you guys that trap before and after work, don't get spread out so much that you're wasting time running from one place to the next. You need to milk each farm until the coyotes are screaming for relief. All of the talk about learning, leaving seed, farming your fur is a joke when it's considered when you're concerning coyotes. If the states use 1080, which is a poison, they could not completely control coyotes. For trapping will not make the coyotes extinct. Even if you take more ground in the east that you will ever see as a trapper, or that trapper will only take a pup or two. If you forget everything else in this book, don't forget this. It does not matter about the size of your trap line concerning acres. All that matters is how many coyotes are crossing on your trap line while you have traps out. It is your job to put a high percentage of those coyotes on stretchers. Trap numbers. Now, before we get in this, I want to go on a little rant about trap numbers. How many traps can you set in a day? I want you to do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. That's a better way of putting it. Because it doesn't matter to me. How many traps can a competent, experienced coyote trapper put in the ground in a day? Because I know, after talking with several trappers over 20 years, there's a myth in trapping that if you're charging hard, you're going to be able to put out about 100 to 150 traps a day, because we've all heard it from the guys that are trying to sell you something, right? So how many traps can you put out? Quality sets on quality locations, where they're bedded good, they're thawed out, they're where they need to be, using the wind in your favor, where it's looking natural, all of those factors. How many can you put in a day? Now, I've been around enough conventions and heard enough guys talking to know that 100 traps a day is pretty much the common theme when it comes to putting out coyote traps, which is, one, insulting to anybody that's been around this game long enough. Now, if you've got some type of situation where you can just run 60 miles an hour, slam on the brakes, walk 2 feet away, you already know where your sets are going to go, you got really good sandy ground, you might could put out 100 a day. I think a lot of those locations are probably going to be pretty junky, because you're sticking to basically only the vehicle. Because sometimes you need to walk 20 or 30 feet, 20, 30 yards, 100 yards in the real world. But when I hear guys at conventions and they're talking about, yeah, man, you just got to put 100 traps in the ground today, and yeah, my BS meter starts pinging. And I sit back and I listen to what they're saying, but I can tell you that I'm being very cautious of believing anything else that I hear. So when we start talking about trap numbers actually going in the ground, let's all get a little bit realistic about what that means. Now, we're not talking coon trapping, road trapping. We're not talking about popping in dirt holes in Minnesota. We're not talking about, you know, slamming a bunch of DBs in Iowa, DPs in Iowa, or running, you know, getting out 500 or 600 kill poles where the poles are already set in a road ditch somewhere. We're not talking about that. We're talking coyote bobcat sets. We're talking about coyotes, I guess. Now, where I was just at, in the Delta, The way we normally do it there is everybody runs the traps together. Then after lunch, you go and set traps. So from about 1 to 5, you're setting traps. 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 4 to 5. You're setting traps. And you do that every day. Now, to make these numbers fair, last couple of years I've been taking a neighbor of mine, Mark, which knows nothing about trapping. Last year was the first time he's ever touched a trap, as far as I know. He's like a sponge. He's trying to figure all this out. He's trying to figure out the way we talk, our vernacular, our slang, all of it, because we got to talking about this. He's starting to figure it out, but guys, we don't realize we talk a different language than everybody else. Now, me and Mark would go setting after lunch in that 3 to 4 hour range. And we're on a buggy, so we're not opening gates. We're not having to get on the road. We're not all of that. Now, the reason I brought up Mark is he'll put in a few traps, which is slower. He's much better this year than he was last year. But it's not like super slow. I don't put him in situations where it's going to be a nightmare to put a set in, because that would just be mean. He's trying to learn, right? Okay, so in that 3 to 4 hours, we're realistically out of a buggy, no gates, no getting on the road, no traveling to the next farm, just driving from set to set. Is about 18 to 20 traps, realistically. So if we did that all day, and you're going to stop lunch, you're going to have to take pee breaks and drink water and all that type stuff, maybe, realistically, maybe, if we were younger, like in our 30s again, 75 traps in a day. And that would be busting ass. Busted ass. But keep in mind, that's not getting on the road. That's not driving time. That's not anything, because we're on one piece of ground. I think it's 5,000 acres. See, if you go and ask Jeff how many traps he can put in a day, I can tell you he's not going to tell you 100 or 150. There's not too many people better than Jeff. I've been with Randy, and with Randy being unhuman and his energy and speed, maybe 60, 70. And that's just been fox trapping. And I mean, if you got to pee, you better pee going to or from the truck. And if you get hungry, he may go through a drive-thru. That's lunch. See, when I hear all these numbers of what people saying that they're setting for coyote traps, I know that that's causing a lot of younger trappers to think that they're being inadequate in what they're doing. Now, I understand that people that are trying to sell stuff and they want to beat their chest and, you know, make you think that they're the greatest thing since, you know, whoever their hero was when they were a kid, they want to embellish. But if you were to follow most trappers in the real world, guys, you need to understand, most guys are going to be somewhere around the 50 trap to 60 trap a day if they bust ass. So keep that in mind when we're talking about all this. Because there is a lot of BS that floats around this industry. Trap numbers. The amount of traps that you set perform for this system is a lot more than most guys will agree to. You have to read, see, you have read and have been told by big name trappers that 2 to 6 traps will cover most farms for coyotes. This same man will puff on his chest and claim that his 2 to 6 traps will cover several hundred to several thousand acres in the east. The same man will say that if a place is good enough for one trap, then it's good enough for 2 traps. His 2 to 6 traps in real terms may mean that he only sets 1 to 3 locations on a farm. This may be hard for someone in the west or someone from a massive farm acreage in the Midwest to comprehend. But 3 locations on 500 acres in the east is a joke. In the west, everything is spread out. Locations can be several miles apart. A lot of the Midwest has plowed fields as far as you can see. After the crops have been cut and plowed under, these fields are basically dead areas. The east is different to animals when it comes to locations. Every book, demo, and video says to set the crossroads, and I agree. Most farms, timber ground, national forests, mining areas, hunting camps have these prize crossroads every 1/8, 1/4, or 1/2 mile. And a lot of the time, every couple of 100 yards. Fence gates, edges, field corners, logging roads, and everywhere inside of the last location. I have a client in North Alabama where I trap 1,500 acres. On the 1,500 acres, there's a little over 60 miles of roads. Half of the property is on a mountain, and every 10 acres has a road around it. So you will find over 70 of these crossroads. There is a bluff line on both sides of the mountain. Food plots, ponds are everywhere. Below the mountain are large fields for crops, a large swamp, more logging roads, and an old railroad line. If you think 2 to 6 traps or 10 to 15 traps will efficiently cover this property, you're fooling yourself. I trap this farm 2-3 weeks every year. After 2 to 3 days, I will have out about 80 traps on about 45 locations. Every year, I move off of most of the previous year's locations to a new location. Now I set these 50 to 60 traps on separate locations. I can't use snares, or I'd put out an additional 50 to 100 snares. It's in Alabama. Snares are illegal. There is a couple of ways to take information you've just read. One, I must be a bad trapper to need to set that many traps on 1,500 acres. To be honest, this could be true. I don't know. I have no doubt this will be the response from many trappers that have not caught as many coyotes in a year as I have in 2 or 3 weeks. Two, maybe I can't pick a location. I would say both my years of experience in the field combined with federal studies would prove otherwise. Three, I might get a lot of misses at my sets. This could be, but I don't seem to get as many misses if the coyote works the set. The night vision cameras have taught me a lot about how a coyote works a set. This information has led me to some unusual ideas on trap placements. The animals have shown me where to put the trap. Four, my lure and bait must be weak and I need to have so many sets to catch the animals. Maybe. But I not only use my lures and baits, but I've also buy and use a lot of other lure makers' products. I have a reason for this and I will get into this in detail later. The point is to not fall into a knee-jerk response as to why I, or possibly you, need to set more gear on a tract of ground. This farm yielded 27 coyotes, 11 cats, and a truckload of coon and possum. 27 coyotes may not sound sexy like 100 coyotes in 2 to 3 weeks. If the truth were to be told, there are not a lot of trappers that take 27 coyotes and 11 cats in 2 or 3 weeks in the East, much less a season. Keep in mind that I'm getting paid to take predators off of the single property. It would not have been too difficult to trap more ground during the same time. That way, I could trap the different properties that are not that far apart. So when you see that 37 predators were taken on 1,500 acres, don't mentally limit yourself to thinking that 30 to 40 predators is all of the coyotes and cats that can be taken in 2 or 3 weeks. In most places, you can take 60 to 80 coyotes at that same time with more property than 1,500 acres. Keep in mind, this 1,500 acres is my trapping world when I'm on that property, just like your amount of acreage is your trapping world. What someone catches on 100,000 acres is irrelevant. That's not even apples and oranges. That's not even fruit at that point. I've also heard that too many sets will spook off coyotes. Most of the time, these same guys claim that they'll have more than 6 to 8 sets on 1,000 acres could be too much. The coyotes will see the sets and put on alert. For starters, I seriously doubt that a coyote can count to 6 or 8. If this is the case, then I guess once the trapper counts to 6 or 8, he throws up his paws and says, "That's it. I'm out of here." Really? A mindset that believes that the trappers can possibly pick or truly know, quote, the 1 to 7 locations that every single coyote will come across and see is pure arrogance. And I still stand behind that. If you study federal research, you will see tracking studies that clearly show how sporadically a coyote works his home range. So to think that the trapper's locations, and that was in quotes, the trapper locations, will be used by most or all of the coyotes is insane. Don't fall for the self-proclaimed experts that have not done their homework. You will often find that these guys who have bounced coyotes off of a single farm are trapping like amateur woofers. If you do a little digging on these trappers, you'll find that few common traits. 1, they have not gotten the hang of natural looking sets. You will find them beating in a natural fox-like crude sets, and then they repeat this a natural process over and over again. If this is the case, then you can bet you will spook and bounce coyotes off a piece of property. 2, every set they make will have a smooth, unnatural dirt pattern. 3, they will talk the talk about flat sets and post sets and blind sets, but hardly ever put that talk into practice. Okay, next rant. Too many trap sets are going to spook a coyote. Really? Well, what's the difference then if a coyote comes across 2 sets or 6 sets? Or 6 sets or 12 sets? See, to understand this system I'm going to be talking about, you can't use what a longliner uses. What's a longliner do? If you go with Randy, he traps in a longliner system. He's very good at getting properties. He uses 1 set. Coyotes, fox, bobcat. Makes no difference to him. Makes no difference what state he's in. It makes no difference to him for any reason whatsoever besides maybe he'll get bored and throw in a flat set just to do it. Randy puts in a Charlie Robbins dirt hole set with an auger. His trap is 9 to 10 inches back on an angle with a deep dirt hole with his bait and lure in the hole. That does never change. Randy's only putting in a handful of traps, sometimes on a couple of thousand acres. That's long lining. Nothing wrong with it. But there's way more coyotes that are not coming to his sets than are. And Randy will tell you this. But what that allows Randy to do, because he has all of the properties that he has, is he can catch two or three or four off of this farm and two or three or four off of that farm. And after so many farms, he's averaging 17, 18, 19 coyotes a day. He's trapping thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. So the way Randy sets, and I'm not picking on Randy, but I'm using Randy as an example because I know he's mature enough to understand what I'm talking about. If you put Randy in a situation where he had to live on 2,000 acres, eventually you would find that Randy, because he's a smart guy, would not be making only that type of dirt hole set. Because Randy'd figure out pretty quick that won't work. Most guys that I see at demos and everything else, they put in fox sets. They move the trap back a little bit further. It's very unnatural looking. They've got, even in a field, they'll have this little smooth dirt pattern just stuck out in the middle of the field, which is crazy unnatural. Works for fox, not the best for coyotes. And they repeat that over and over and over again with the same lure and the same bait. So it's like an alien invasion of some type of aircraft that could just drop these sets out of the sky and land, and they all look and smell the same. It'd be a little weird. Now, how do you get around not freaking coyotes out if you're going to set a bunch of traps on a property? Don't let them see the same thing over and over again. It's not that complicated, guys. It's really not. You have big dirt holes, small dirt holes. Some with patterns, some without patterns. Some blown up, some are hard to see. You got rebar stake. If you want to call that a dirt hole, I really don't. I think it's a flat set, but it's irrelevant. Then you've got an unlimited amount of flat sets you can put in if you're creative. You can smear lure on the end of a stump, under a rock, in grass, in between bark, in between roots, on buildings, fence posts. A flat set is unlimited inside of pipes. It's unlimited. So if you change up your dirt hole, the size, the depth, some have patterns, some don't have patterns, and you're changing up the baits and the lures with different combinations, some with urine, some with not, some with gland, some with not. I mean, I'm always going to say use bait over anything else, but that's up to you. Well, just in the dirt holes we did, if you start changing up the bait, that's like 36 different varieties. Flat sets could be hundreds of varieties. And you're throwing in blind sets, and you can throw in buried bait sets and cash sets and toy sets that are like M80 type things, or the Pipe Dream from Zagger, or Portable Pockets from what I still do a lot of. It is endless to the coyote, and there should be no reason for that coyote to be able to put all these different ones together as something's going on. It's just a lot of crap's going on. You can mix up whether you're using commercial stuff or roadkill. Beaver legs, beaver skulls, beaver meat, ran over deer head, you know, you find a snake that's been run over, dead feral cats, fish, turtle shells. I mean, I can go on and on. You can probably come up with, even someone that's been in this game for 5 years can come up with 100 different ways that you can make a set. That's how you've got to set if you're going to put a bunch of traps on the same amount of ground. You don't do the same thing over and over again with the same smell. I personally believe that using drags keeps coyotes from connecting set to danger. And the reason I believe that is when I catch a coyote on a drag and he bails out backwards the way that they normally do, and he can get 5, 10, 15, 20 feet away from that set before he gets tangled up, do you know what's not on that crazy acting coyote? Lure and bait. When you stake a coyote on a short chain right over a dirt hole set or a flat set, what do you think is all over the body of that coyote when he's fighting that trap? Coyotes work off a sense of smell. So when the other coyotes come up to the racket of the caught coyote and he's acting very, very strange, and if you trap long enough, you'll have plenty of stories of coyotes killing coyotes in traps because it's like they're trying to put down a crazy person. But now there's a smell associated with this struggling coyote. See, I think it's more important for someone that uses short chains and stakes to have a huge variety of lure and bait combinations. Because it's going to be on the animal. And the other animals are going to smell that. And when they smell that, they're going to associate something strange with that odor. Now, when you catch them on a drag, coyotes always go backwards when they get in trouble. Always. So they don't have a chance to get that lure and bait on them. Now there's just a coyote that's acting kind of funny. And if the other coyotes start circling and they get close to the trap, there's nothing going on with that dirt hole with lure and bait in it. Nothing. It's just a hole that's got something good that smells coming out of it. That's it. I do believe that you can set too many traps for coyotes if you set like a long liner. But if you learn to be creative in how you set and use combinations, I don't think you're going to have any trouble at all. Because if I remember right, and I don't remember an exact number, but I know I had over 100 traps out on 2,000 acres in North Carolina. I don't think I had over 120. So somewhere between 110 and 120. And I was still catching coyotes up to the last day. That's 100 traps on 2,000 acres. Now, if the theory holds up that too many traps spook a coyote, They should have bounced out of there within 48 hours. But see, the coyotes luckily don't have the reasoning ability that we do. If you make everything different, there's not a similarity. The pattern, I think, is what a coyote can pick up on. A Charlie Robbins dirt hole set with the same bait and lure over and over and over again. And then if you stake him down and you got the odor on the coyote where he's acting funny, yeah, there's a good chance there's going to be some coyotes that go, ain't getting around that smell. I don't know what it is, but he's acting like a crazy person over there. I don't want that. I think a lot of the reason that people think that you can set too many traps is because they don't want to put the work in to catch the most amount of coyotes on a piece of property. Because it's work. And it's not for the same reward of long lining. Because you run out 50 or say 75 traps on a long line, and every property you're picking the premier locations and you plop in three or four traps or five traps or six traps. But you're hitting 10 different farms. Well, your catch is always going to be higher. So the reward is much higher for the work that you do for each set. But if your world is regulated to a certain amount of acres, that is irrelevant to you at the time. Do you follow what I'm trying to, my thought process here? I know I keep repeating myself, but I'm trying to make this bulletproof on being clear. Those two systems are not compatible. Long lining on short acres does not work. And at the same time, trying to catch high coyotes per square mile over large acreage does not work either, because you're only human and you're not going to be able to put out 3,000 freaking traps. And I would say, realistically, guys, that once you get over 5,000 or 6,000 acres, the catching the most coyotes per square mile is not feasible. It's just not. Now, you may could come up with a hybrid of some type, or maybe, depending on the road system and access and everything like that, you may try to put out, say, 20, 25 traps on each farm that's that big, and then go to the next one. And you would definitely catch more coyotes per square mile than you would just with a few. There's no doubt about that. But to really do what we're getting ready to talk about, see how much time we've been talking. We've been an hour. So when we talk about this again next week, keep in mind, once you hit a certain number, and I'm not sure what that is, it just becomes impractical to lock up locations the way they're going to be talking about. But for most of us, in most of our realistic trapping, that's not going to be a problem. See, years ago, I used to give instructions when I would go to conventions, and I used to do a lot of conventions. So I'd give an instruction on the way to a convention and when I was leaving a convention. And then I'd have like a week at home, then I'd give two more, then two more, sometimes two or three. So I gave instruction all over the country. And the cool thing about doing that type of instruction for the student is it's on his trap line. So it's literally on where he's going to be trapping. And most people do not have, most people don't have 3,000 acres. combined. Now, you may throw in some public strip pits or something like that that may bump that average up, but for the most part, they're smaller farms, smaller tracts of ground, and you got to hop around to get on. Not once did I give instruction to anybody. Well, I take that back. I did in Wyoming. Let me think about this. Yep. Well, there might have been one guy in North Carolina that may have had a total of 10,000 with everything. Maybe. But most of the time, even with having several farms to trap, 2,000-4,000 acres is probably what most trappers' world is. So that's really the only thing they have to work with. And if that's you, which is going to probably be 90% of the people that listen to this, that's why we're talking about this. To get you out of a mindset of a system that does not work for you. And we're going to get more and more detailed about this in the upcoming weeks. So guys, I hope y'all have a good week. I hope y'all have dreams about tight chains, and I will talk to y'all then.